I mean, you no. finally, do we get to finally meet the real Zeno? No.
Nobody wants to meet the real Zeno.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what you meet right before death.
This is the Still Talking Podcast with Colton Zeno and myself, Brian Christensen. Today we are talking about Jason Zeno. Jason, what the fuck is going on in your life? Please tell us. There's something I don't know, and I'm excited to learn.
It's that Colton's pregnant, and it's mine.
I knew it! Oh my god,
it's a it's a hermaphrodite, and it will amount to nothing.
Thank you, science.
Yeah.
It's gonna be such an ugly
baby.
That
was the other thing.
So...
Oh my god, we can hear her so well.
Yeah.
Wait, is that your love child talking right now?
She had some hermaphrodite comment.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Not a hermaphrodite.
Is
that's
totally
a rumor.
We can talk about the hermaphrodite, not hermaphrodite issue another time.
Look, not that I have anything against hermaphrodites. However, she's not a hermaphrodite. That's just a rumor.
She was when she was born.
No, she was not.
They cut her
That's
penis down.
That's absolutely not true.
They cut
it's
her
not
penis
even remotely
down.
True.
Now she is a cleanus.
Wait, wait. Can we so identify to listener who the other person talking is?
No.
No.
No? 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 Okay, just
That's
random.
Some weird,
okay,
it's beautiful
Jason
lady
and
in
Colton.
My house.
It's Jamie Lee Curtis.
It's Jamie Lee Curtis. Very furious at Colton and Zeno for propagating... A bullshit. Hey.
Hey.
How you doing?
Hi.
Hey, could you take the headphones off of Zeno,
yes,
put them on yourself real quick? Good. Yeah, you're doing that right. Perfect. Could you now tell Zeno to go into a different room and be
for
very quiet
for
the next
hour
and a half?
Yeah.
Because you and I need to talk about the bullshit conspiracy theory that the Still Talking podcast just tried to propagate, which is Jamie Lee Curtis apparently being a hermaphrodite, which isn't even, like, how? No.
No, she's not at all. I don't even
of
know
course
where
not.
It started.
It started with Colton 5 minutes ago in his basement when he was editing Wikipedia, which I would really hope he stops.
Except that it came up on your podcast.
Yeah.
Months
ago.
Oh, that's right. See, I don't listen to this podcast. I'm pretty sure no one does. So that's why that rumor's going to die.
Okay. Well, I do. Right. We need to set the story straight. Not that there is anything wrong with hermaphrodites. However.
Absolutely not.
Jamie Lee Curtis, not a hermaphrodite.
Pretty sure. I feel
just,
very
well, okay. Yeah,
just
that's
100%
fair.
Woman?
I mean, we're like 99% sure.
Okay.
Yes. Woman.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know where else to go with this. I feel like anything I say is definitely going to get some Twitter feedback.
We'll definitely all get cut.
Yeah, it's not going to be good. I do really appreciate that you're not Zeno, though. So I just really want to point that out.
Oh,
this is so great.
Thank
it's
you.
So refreshing.
That will get positive Twitter feedback.
So. Yes. Are the fact that Zeno is gone, replaced by someone who is both intelligent and articulate.
Aw, thank you.
Is Brian being nice? Fuck him for being so nice.
Why did he assume it was Brian?
That's a good point. I don't know why he assumed that.
I know, right? He just knows. He knows.
Brian.
Because I'm delightful.
You're looking so good.
Aw, thank you. That's really nice to hear. I appreciate that you say that with Zeno.
No, yeah, I'm the one on the right,
deeper.
Alyssa.
Yeah, it's easy to, like...
Oh, I'm aware.
This is pretty hot for you right now, seeing this dual feed, but, you know, slow your roll.
You're a married
we
woman.
Taken. Yeah. I mean, I don't blame you, because... Woo!
He's so handsome. What are you talking about?
I know, right? Oh, we've all slept with Zeno, don't worry.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay, he's glaring at me, so I'm going to get the headphones back.
Okay. Goodbye, we'll miss you.
Bye, miss you guys.
So what it comes down to is that, hermaphrodite or not, the rumor is out there.
Yeah. Yes. Then again, I'm pretty sure Colton started.
Google is liberal news, and... Jamie Lee Curtis is a hermaphrodite. That's all we need.
She may or may not be some sort of frog that is homosexual via the chemical.
Oh, okay. So we all saw the amazing Alex Jones trans porn. Love whatever kind of porn you're watching. Don't accuse gay
so
frogs.
It was like on his cell phone, right? Or something like that? A tab? Yeah, that seems pretty appropriate. See, okay, here's the deal. Totally unpopular opinion. I think they should not be banning Alex Jones because he is a wealth of entertainment.
Oh, yeah.
And the people that take him seriously, that outs them as complete psychopaths. And I'm okay with that. So I think he should be able to talk, have an audience, and then we can mock and shun them appropriately.
Also, by the amount
of... bring it back in, boys. Let's bring it back in.
Yeah. Have we even talked about distilling
Xeno? Does Xeno have news? No. Is that...
So the Xeno news is...
Yeah, Xeno News.
I'm no longer double macro.
Ah, the podcast is ruined. Oh,
my God. That's the one thing that made this podcast worth... No, never mind. Still wasn't.
Listen, I am completely obsolete. We all know that.
Wait. So, okay, Colton is obviously micro. Right. For all intents and purposes, we are talking
micro?
About distilling right
wait,
now.
No.
Wait, no, yeah, you're going the wrong way. Okay, so are you... Will you be considered mid-range, or are you still micro?
I don't know what it's considered, but it's a good move. And the guys that I'm with, I'm really excited about what we're going to do. And the best way I can articulate it is without my words. and it's,
that says a lot about this podcast.
And it's that Alyssa was like, well, it's like craft, but not.
Yeah.
And
well said.
That's kind of where I land. And I'm like... So I got connected with some guys down in New Orleans, and the distillery's name is Porch Jam. We have a lot of good things in the forefront, and there's some interesting equipment to use, and the vision. What I said to them during an interview was, like, you guys have an ambitious distillery, and that's kind of the way I'm approaching it. It's very ambitious, and I hope that I can satisfy their ambition.
I think it's awesome. So when is the move? Give us a few details before we dig in and ask you a few questions.
So my official start date is the 10th of September, which is quick, but it's been ongoing. We've been talking for a while. And I just kind of hit my proverbial glass ceiling with Beam Suntory.
Wow, first time name.
What a surprise.
I didn't know you worked
Jesus.
For
them. I didn't know he had a job.
By looking at me, you wouldn't think so. The 10th, and they're very much in their infancy, and they're trying to figure out some things, and they have a bunch of equipment that they're trying to understand, and I come from totally different equipment than what I understand. I feel like we can meet in the middle ground and do something really special, and that's what we're trying to do. In all actuality, like, so whoever, listener, if you're out there, whatever the fuck it is you do, if you knit socks, make sure you do.
I assume they skin humans.
Make
knit
sure
socks,
with
obviously.
That you trust and kind of like, and that you share a vision with, because...
That's very good advice for... leaving any job for now.
It's like, and that's what I can say about Porch Jam.
And also,
like, we immediately hit it off, and we see the world under a similar lens. And, you know, like, so if you know one thing about Xeno, it's that he, if you look at my favorites list on my phone when I die, those are the people that are important to me.
We will never, no one will ever know that, because I'm pretty sure we all have a deal that if any of us drop dead, you will drop that phone in an acid bath.
Well, I'm jerking off in an acid bath, though.
That's what friends do.
Yeah, that's why he died.
But it's like, so it's like the guy who's like my dad, who's like my dad. Wait, no, my wife's first, sorry. So it's my wife. Yeah.
Oh, it was a close
then
one.
Good save, like dummy. And then Colton. And then I recently added Doherty. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to be talking to this guy a lot, and I trust him. That's where I'm at. So it's a good move. I got to move my whole life to a different city. But,
that's easy.
But,
So, important question. Is your wife going with you, or is she newly single? Is that a thing we should also announce?
Is that why she's now no longer a top favorite?
Yeah, she's all for it. And, like, what's brilliant about it is that they brought us both down there, and, like, my interview was both of us. And I was just brutally honest. what I think that I've found in my life is I do what I love and I say exactly what I feel. And sometimes that works out for me and sometimes it doesn't. But the times that it works out for me are the times that we're traveling down that road.
Okay, so give us a little background here. Are you starting at the entry level? Are you building this distillery up from the ground up? Or is it already producing? Give us of what you can.
When I heard that, I thought you were asking Zeno if he just joined the bottling line.
He's putting on the tops. Yeah, by hand. That's why it's no longer double macro.
So, where it is, it's like they did like a soft release of their product. But where they weren't super happy with what they were making and how they're making it and all the details. So when I'm coming in, I'm approaching it as it's brand new. And like all the assets are brand new and nobody knows what works and how it works and all that. So it's like a totally clean slate. They kind of built it and they got it up there. So like the assets are in place. So I don't have that kind of control. But I have addition of assets and who's going to work it and how we're going to run it. And Gordy and everyone there I really, really like these people. And that's what it comes down to. It's like I can work with these people because it's a close relationship that I didn't get on the double macro side. Where like when I wanted to change things, it went through many levels and then maybe it happened.
So, that leads us into our... actual topic of the night is you're about to experience a bunch of whole new equipment. Let's talk about how you would have wanted to have that equipment or what kind of equipment you're dealing with and what kind of things you can do to, utilize that equipment to the best of your abilities.
Honestly.
Are you basically asking him how he's going to distill?
Yeah. Yes, he is. Yeah.
All right. I'm just trying to be concise.
Trying to be long form.
Zeno, how do you distill a product?
Yeah. So it's all new equipment. The way I approach it, it's new to them too, because they've done very few runs where they had product out, and it's not where they wanted it. So pretty much everything they did was arbitrary, right? So it's like starting with a clean slate. But it's supposed to...
Okay, you get to come in and build up the program you want.
Kind of, but like you have to figure out how things work first, right? You know, you're talking about, I don't know, even if it's 30 valves, right? Like even if it's 15 valves, you have to understand what they do and how it's going to impact what you're making, right?
Hold on.
15 valves, what about the type of still, right? Like or anything, the type of process that they're doing. But ultimately, what I go with is what I've learned a lot in life and what one of my mentors said to me is like, start with the end in mind. And that's kind of what it is. Like, what the fuck do you want to make? And then start there. Go on, Colton.
Bourbon cream liqueur.
Right, so, what do you mean by valves? You can't just say 15 or 30 valves. And...
No, I can just say that. Because if you have a process and has 15 or 30 valves...
I thought you were talking about like plates on your still or
I totally just understood the whole point of why Colton wanted us to start this podcast. Colton has no idea how distilling
how
works.
Does distilling
and he's
work?
Using you to train him. Yeah, that's what this is. It's the long con to get you to freely train him on distilling.
Yeah, when do you strike the flint against the steel? That's what I would like to know.
Immediately.
Valid question. The best part is Zeno's been teaching you
is
wrong.
Is it over the barrel or in the bottle?
So you should sulfur wick everything that has spirits.
Yeah.
Delicious.
At any rate.
I was going to say, you're kind of in an interesting position now where you're at a big distillery. We've talked a little bit about how the industry has a lot of like headhunting, a huge shortage of qualified distillers out there, and there's this demand for qualified people. So can you talk a little bit about how often were you fending off offers? How many people were coming at you? Like, and also what finally, just general summary of what won you over and how often was this a part of your daily life? If you're comfortable talking.
No, I am. It's the people won me over and the vision. And it's like, this is what we're trying to do. And this is how we want to do it. And this is what we need. And I could fit that very niche where I'm like, okay, I can do this for you. And you guys are going to provide things that I cannot provide. As far as offers that I got, I've had a few. Like, there's some out there. I would love, listener, if you're a qualified distiller, yeah, to contact me, because it's really hard to find people, because ultimately I'm in a position that I need to find people, because I am overseeing my vision, which is my company's vision, and I need people to do that. And it's really hard to find good people. And Colton and I have talked about this time and time again. It's like, all right, do you get food science people? Do you get brewing science people? Do you get chemical engineers? We're in this weird niche where it's like actually qualified, educated people. It's hard to find.
So you heard it here, people. There's job openings, yeah, at Deck Jelly. Please contact Zeno and see if there's any opportunities.
Find him on ZipRecruiter, guys.
Oh, he's going to get so many amazing like resumes. I'm just going to start making up resumes send them in, and sending mostly, them to you. But... They will all be from Colton. Yeah.
TheJoker@gmail.com.
No name.
Yeah.
I am good distiller. I make your product. So I assume you're hiring all of us, and we're going to all move to New Orleans and basically just sit around and watch you work.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the point of this intro and this conversation, we didn't get to our real topic, was that it's like, so when I went down on the interview and I'm like, hey guys, I'm like, yeah, I never run a still like this before. I have no idea, but I can figure it out. And that is the meat of our topic, is like, there's all kinds of different stills that work all kinds of different ways. Exactly. And what do you want to make and how do you want
to
make it?
Yeah, it's easy to say heat source into pot, vaporize alcohol, condense it. But there's so many different variables and levels. And, you know, your new still is how many plates? 27, 30?
24.
Yeah, 24 plates. I run a negative 2 plate still. So.
Yeah, but the weird thing is, it's like it's 24 plates and it's still batch distillation. And actually, that's a hard transition for me, because I come from a continuous distillation, like, you know, 21 tray. We call them trays. Like, I come from a 21 tray continuous distillation, and it operates totally different in like where you draw what you want to draw and the equilibrium at the point in the column that it is. It's like there's a learning curve to it. But it all ultimately comes down to is what is your end product in mind, right? And so this place has a 24 tray column, and I'm going to make vodka. For the first time in my life, I'm going to make vodka. You know how much I give a shit about vodka, listener? A lot. I give a ton of shit.
He loves vodka. Anything he may have said before on this podcast was a lie. It was self-disparaging. He loves vodka.
Come September 10th, vodka is his only soul. Yeah.
But in all honesty, though, there's a reason that people drink Tito's over everything else, right? And is it the brand, or is it the spirit, or is it somewhere in between? And I'm in the somewhere in between. And I'm like, you guys have a brand. You do what you can do. I'll make the product that you want to make. And like, our vision is a product that is clean, concise, but with character. And to do that in a vodka is a challenge, because it's a balance beam. Right? Like, so you don't want to be too flappy, but at the same time, you don't want to be too neutral. So where is that ground, right?
And also, you have such like a hard, you know, just range where you're so stuck in, you know, it's, what's the definition of vodka? Like 190 proof off the still. It's really hard to get any character movement on that at all, right? So,
but that's the beauty of it. So like, our founder, Gordon Stewart, Gordy, he is from Scotland and he had a brewery, and he shares the Paul Hughes vision of vodka, which is the UK vision, where it's like, well, no, it can have character, right?
Oh, you mean the one you actively on this podcast railed against? that vision.
I railed against in the judging, because like, are you judging as an American?
I'll cut that out.
No, I don't give a fuck. You can keep it in. But is that what it is? It's like, what the definition of vodka, like, is super neutral. Is that what you want as drinkers, which the three of us are clearly, right. Is that what we want the definition to be?
So let's back up and talk about what we've talked about on this podcast all the time, which is, who are your customers? Have you, you know, who are you looking at as your consumer base? Who are you selling to? Are you hyper local? Are you going to go out mass distribution? Like, what's the goal there?
Who's buying Tito's? Who's buying Pickers?
Am I supposed to say something not funny?
You can say whatever you can say whatever you want. But those people that are buying
Insane Clown Posse. Not funny.
Yes.
Yeah. Magnets, how do they work?
I love you, Tito. Yeah.
No, they're good brands, but there's
no room. I mean, honestly, to me, you know, distillers to make vodka, it's the hardest thing to make, right? So, like, you know, you can make, just, you have to be so exact, you have to be so precise on everything you do.
Right, you don't get to blend it out later.
You don't get to add wood staves
down the line.
Whoa, you guys are ruining all my business plans.
Yeah. Oh, I thought this was going to be easy.
And admittedly, too, you know, I've heard this before. I know a couple guys have T-shirts that say vodka pays the bills.
Yeah.
You know, vodka and gin.
So
that's what keeps distilleries open.
But that's not what we're trying to do. Like,
this isn't about capital acquisition. This is just about
So that's the beauty of it. And that's why I signed on. Because they're not another craft distiller that wants to make a vodka, a gin, and rest and spirits. They're like, no, we're going to refine a vodka. We're going to make a brand. And we're going to give it value.
Badass. So now that you're done with, like, the double macro, can you finally, like, let your hair down, take the tie off, and not be so buttoned up and serious all the fucking time? I mean, do we get to finally meet the real Zeno?
No. Nobody wants to meet the real Zeno.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what you meet right before death.
Jesus. Yeah.
Whoa, we got dark.
Anyways, it's a good move. I'm happy about it. Honestly, the geographic location plays a big role in it too, as in what they're trying to do, where they're trying to do it. I was like, oh yeah. And they're empowering me, but I don't want to empower as much as I'm like, oh, well, this is a collaborative effort. Like, let's make the spirit that all of us want to make. And yeah, we'll figure it out. And like the math and the science behind it. Sure. I'll do that. But
also at the same time, I think, you know, one of the things that maybe we didn't relate as well on the podcast, but double macro, just like the amount of corporate, you know, kind of nonsense and amount of, you know, hoops you have to jump through, just kind of holds you back with, you know, they've been doing it forever.
No.
So they're nervous to try new ideas, and this is a way to.
Well, here's what I'm going to say. So, like,
yeah, we'll keep it polite, but...
Yeah, I love what I did, and it made me a better person. I learned a ton. But I don't want to make decisions based on emotion. I want to make them on data and information. And with this place, I mean, they flew me down, and I didn't even officially start yet. We tried to do a run, and it was an abortion. It was terrible. But I pushed the limits of that system and figured out things, and I gathered information, and I've ran things that were in a different way than they were ever run. So
you get to make it your baby. It's going to be yours.
Well, yeah, no, it's ours, because I'm cool with these people and it being ours, and we have a good vision, we're aligned, and we're going to do something special. And I honestly believe that. And I did something special in the double macro side too. And some people might see that in a couple of years, or they might not, but it happens. It gets caught out in the chaff.
Okay. I know Colton has more stuff he wants to get to. Real quick, give me your top two things you're excited about and the two things you're kind of worried about with this big change.
Two things I'm excited about is making something that I can refine and being proud of it. The other thing is working with people that I can get excited about and they can be, they can have the same connection with the spirit that I can. The two things that are terrifying is that it's all brand new.
Sure.
And it's a lot. Like, there's a lot to take under, and what our vision is ambitious, and that's what I said to them. And I have to meet that demand, but I'm willing to work. This is my, the work is my life. I do this podcast. I do a consulting thing. I do work. And guess what? It's all the fucking same thing. So, but.
Yeah, I mean, we enjoy, I, you know, me personally, we enjoy every minute of it. So.
Oh, yeah. But it doesn't mean it's not stressful. Right? Yeah, sure. Like, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's where I'm at. And, but honestly, what push came to shove, it's like, it's not why I took the job, it's the people. It's like.
So here, I got a semi-serious question. You know, so far everything sounds great. It's, you know, the people who are running it are great. They have a good idea. They, you know, they know how to build a brand and want to fund it. Are you at all worried about, you know, you're promoting vodka, which is not necessarily a growing spirit? The
nope.
Vodka market, the vodka market has been plateauing for a long time. You're not worried about, I mean, you know, I know you're on the production side, but.
Hey, real quick, guys, I'm hearing a little bit of feedback on one of your mics, like kind of a reverb.
Yeah, it's Zeno's.
What do you mean it's me?
But I have no noise in my house.
It's not that big a deal. I didn't know if maybe you just wanted to move the mic a little.
Yeah, it's your heat or AC or whatever.
Okay, you got. I'm sure it'll come out in post. Don't worry about it. Sorry.
Oh yeah, that's real easy to come out in post. No, lies.
That's all Alyssa. It's Alyssa's fault.
Yeah.
So vodka.
No, that's a good question. I mean,
like, I'm not trying. I'm not just trying to be a dick about vodka, but I am.
No,
yeah,
you can be a dick about it, but like, where
I'm
the
serious,
fuck?
Like,
where the
me,
fuck did Tito's come from?
Sure, but Tito's came up in when vodka was growing 20-30%, you know, market share each year. Now vodka's not doing that. I'm not saying vodka's not growing. I'm just saying you're
what
looking
is,
at
what is gaining
large,
market share right now?
Super premium,
yeah,
premium,
super premium. Okay,
yeah.
So what if you can valorize a spirit?
Yeah, that's the second time you've said that word. I'm not sure that that's a word.
No, that's definitely not a word, but I like it, and we're going to make it happen.
All right. I'm going to open up a box where I packed a book where it literally says Valorize on it. Yeah.
Were there space dragons?
It was a book
of
non-words, but.
Yeah. A book of non-words.
Just the silhouette of a naked woman.
Or, you know, it's a microbiology book from the professor at Harriet Watt. Same thing.
Yeah. No.
Space
I
dragons.
I mean, you know, it's. Vodka is definitely. Always a giant category. It's always huge, but it's not necessarily a growing category.
But who is trying to capture the growing category?
I mean, everyone.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
why
mean,
the fuck?
Yeah, all right.
So no. Fuck San Tito's. Where the fuck did Pickers vodka come from?
Sure. I mean, it's the same.
Okay, the same but it has concept. It has a legitimate. Brand establishment, because I went down to Destin, Florida with my in-laws on vacation, and I went to a random bar. It was like, brought to you by Pickers Vodka, and I'm like, what the fuck?
All right, well, so
okay, so going off of what Colton's saying, you're going from a completely different economy of scale with your production, and vodka is very much, you know, it's based on the margins, so you're not going to be able to produce at the cost that you would with a large continuous still. Do you feel confident that you're going to be able to produce a product that's quality, interesting, grabs the consumer's attention, and will still make a profit based on
our price point?
Scale you can produce it at? Yeah, your price point.
Yeah, absolutely. Because that was one of the questions I asked when I went down there. I was like, what's your price point? And hell yeah.
And do you mind if I ask? I mean, are you producing all the vodka in-house?
Yep.
Fuck yeah. Okay.
I'll even tell you the grain bill at some point.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's an obvious point of differentiation.
You keep bringing up Pickers, so Pickers to me is a very regional vodka. You know, you don't see Pickers anywhere northeast or south, you know, Southwest.
We've totally lost scope of what this episode was supposed to be about.
There is no more what it was supposed. You know, we can come back at minute 52. So.
No, I think Colton just wants to continue questioning your life decisions.
Exactly.
For the next half an hour.
I fully support them. I just want to make you super nervous about everything.
Well done, Colton. Yeah, way to really tank the revelry that we were going for.
This is what I think listeners.
All right, so Pickers is super regional. Tell me, motherfuckers, how many spirits are you drinking from New Orleans?
No, and that's why I asked earlier, are you guys going to lock up, you know, are you going national? Are you going to focus regional first? Because I think there's a huge opportunity for a regional brand.
No, it's regional.
I mean, you're going to kill it there because just look, I mean, all you have to do is look at all the brands that produce in, you know, cliche, but New York. Anything in the Finger Lakes, anything around in that area, even the ones in New Jersey have huge hubs to feed and they can produce vodka. They can produce gin. They can long-term plan about, you know, their, you know, Empire Rye and things like that. But they have this massive market that they can feed.
Bottle of an Empire Rye on Sunday. So.
New Orleans deserves a spirit to represent them.
Oh, they definitely do.
And like what they've been through and the history that they have and the melting pot that it is, they deserve a fucking spirit that represents them.
Sure.
And again, I know you've already thought about this, but in my mind, I just realized that one of the benefits you have by locking up the local and regional area, you're then going to be able to kind of springboard off that on a national scheme because New Orleans has a pretty romantic, you know, backstory and national sense of identity. So you're going to be able to leverage that on a national scale when you're ready, because that sells itself. And because there isn't a lot of competition there. I mean, again, look at Texas and Tito's. He did an incredible job really locking up that brand recognition and that identity. You have that opportunity too.
And I love my unnatural ties to it, right? Like, my mom is French Canadian, and like, there's the whole Acadians that are Cajuns, and like, there's this beautiful French influence in it that I had never been to New Orleans until I went down for the interview. And immediately I was like, oh, wait, these people are scumbags, just like me. Yes. Not the people I'm working with.
Good like, save. Good.
And like, so like, when I got there, they were telling me about this kid from the Bayou that I really loved. And like, oh, he's such a hard worker and he could totally be trained. And whatever. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm listening to it. But like last weekend, they flew me down and I'm not working for them yet. Like, I went down and like, oh, we're trying to get shit done. And I saw this kid and he was like, this kid from the Bayou. Like, we offered him a full-time job because it's hard work. It's hard work. And like, he was saying words that I did not understand. And like, I'm like, man, this kid is a fucking go-getter. He had a fire that I haven't seen that kind of fire since people that work where I come from. Where in my city, where I come from, you work your ass off or you get left behind.
Right. And, well, and you are coming from an environment where I assume that is something you didn't get to see a lot of. So, I mean, this is probably pretty refreshing.
Uncomfortable pause.
That was great. Yeah, I'm glad no one stopped to break that. Yeah. So it sounds like there was more you guys wanted to cover as this being a segue. What else?
No, we're way past that. Our idea initially was to talk about still types. We're not even close to that. We can do that, but...
I'm responsible, I think, mostly for derailing that. Sorry.
We're not even close to a mediocre podcast, let alone a topic. Yeah.
When have we ever been, Zeno? I'm pretty sure.
I don't know.
I just let my personal interest in what you're doing and, like, these are the kind of stories I love, personally. I mean, this is my own bias.
I think it's good because it talks a lot about just, like, moving jobs, why you might want to look for a job, you know.
I think that's a lot of good content there, yeah.
It's very Zeno-centric, though, which I don't love.
That's why I love it. Because I love talking about Zeno. Zeno's one of my favorite people. I mean, I harassed the shit out of you, but that's because I kind of love you.
I totally love you. There's no kind of.
I know. I'm just super happy for you, and it's nice to be able to talk about it. And again, this I think Colton's right. This parallels a lot of other people's journey.
But I want to talk about like the industry as a whole, and that it's hard to find good people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's a really good point. You're trying to hire a team right now. You just got hired from a large distillery where obviously they sounds like they've been looking for someone to come in and run their operation for a while now. So that really shines a light on one of the issues our industry has, which is a lack of qualified people. I mean, the people we have are incredible, but there's just not enough of them to go around right now based on the growth phase that we're happening. So what the hell do we do? You know, like, what are you going to do? What are your plans to fill out a distillery and get your shit done so you don't have to stay there 20 hours a day?
In all honesty, I'm trying to cultivate that culture. And so the local university, the girl who's the director of analytical chemistry came and grabbed heads from the distillery the first day that I was there. Okay. And I chatted her up something fierce.
You and are married now.
Jesus Christ, Zeno.
There's all kinds of different marriages these days.
Have you let her know? Yeah. That's good. She'll find out when she listens to the podcast, which she won't. Cause
oh,
no,
she
does.
Will, but apparently... three or four months back.
So. Listener will tell her when he's balling her. Yeah.
She's going to love that one.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's so sad. I'm so depressed now. Anyways. Aww. Yeah. In all seriousness though, like it's like a weird section, like this certain skill set that you can find people.
So
and ultimately, what I need is a hard worker.
Yeah.
Can you explain why did she come in and take the heads? What was the plan? What was she doing? Were you actually working together on some lab analysis?
Brian, or? I know they don't have flirting in Washington, but
no, it's not. It's more of a lottery system.
They do. They just fuck your butt and cart them off.
Oh, that is a weird situation.
Yeah, no one's happy with it. Yeah. Moms definitely don't appreciate it.
No, I mean, we're talking about bringing in good people. And I went to a Tennessee Distillers Guild meeting last week, and we brought this exact thing up. Is, you know, there's a lot of Tennessee distillers that are starting to, you know, expand, and they're looking where to find people beyond that sort of, oh, I made moonshine with my uncle 10 years ago type. You know, experience. There's a lot of schools that are starting all around the country that have fermentation science. Personally, I'm a little suspicious of a first year fermentation, a first year school fermentation science degree where
they usually have to work out some kinks.
Right? Yeah.
I agree.
So
even a highly accredited, you know, top notch university that you know is going to, you know, a diploma is actually going to mean something from them. It usually takes a little while to bring on some talent. I mean, think about it. We're already talking about how hard it is to get talent to actually produce the product. That means it's also hard to get them in to teach those kind
so,
of things.
You know, at the same time, there's a very fine line of there's a lot of kids that come out of very accredited schools that do terribly. I know of one recent distillery that, you know, had a kid that came out with, you know, top marks in all of the classes he needed, and sat, you know, on paper seemed so great, and was fired within 2 weeks because they were just such a poor professional, you know, distiller.
Okay, was that his professionalism or was that actually his knowledge?
No, it was his professionalism. It was, you know, lack of safety, lack of like practical experience, lack of all.
I mean,
those
we are not
things.
We're not good examples of what people should be doing in our industry in terms of professionalism. So let's be very clear.
Of anything.
No, you didn't need to finish that sentence. So it was just, we're not good examples.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I mean, good examples of like what a shit show is.
But in all honesty, there is a gap of like the education and what preparation for this industry should be. And I think like we're all biased at like what we all think what the industry should be.
Yeah.
So that like we're gonna be super skeptical.
You know what I'm most biased of though? I understand that the craft industry is semi new, but distilling has been around a long time. And it seems like...
No.
Yeah.
Like 30, 40 years,
like,
right?
Like at least...
15
you know,
years.
Our distillery is 10 years old, so I imagine we were the first. But...
I think that was in one of your press releases, yeah.
First distillery.
Corsair, the only distillery operating in America.
Yeah, ever.
Firewater,
ever.
First distillery.
Firewater. But I guess my point is... You know, a lot of what I see is chemical engineering, and there's just no... And we just did this whole sort of... ACSA partnered with ISTS out of Louisville because they're based in semi-distillery safety, but there's no real just distillery safety, distillery protocol education out there. It's all hands-on. It's hands-on experience at the moment.
Yeah.
And so how do you find good people for that? Like, how do you find...
Yeah. Well, part of it's cultural, and I think we're all trying to do our best on that. Like, I definitely think we should probably talk about it more on the podcast, the safety side of it. But the other thing, too, that I think even goes to the heart of that, we're talking about professionalism, people coming in, having expectations of what the industry is. We have a lot of fun. It's an amazing industry, but I absolutely loathe it when people come into a distillery assuming that you're drinking on the job, that you're going to be sitting there just drinking off the still, sure. You're pulling from the barrels. You know, if you're getting a buzz while you're in a distilling situation, you are completely being irresponsible. Yeah. There's safety concerns. There's other, you know, there's just, it's don't do it. It's dumb. It's dangerous. And it hurts our industry. So I think new people coming out of college, if you go into this assuming that you're just going to be drinking and partying and having a good time constantly while you're doing this job, that is not what we need in this industry. As we sit here having a drink while recording a podcast, I say that completely unironically.
Well, yeah. We're not in the distillery.
Yeah, goddamn right.
And like, here's the irony of what I do. I dedicate my life to the science and craft of alcohol, and I hate being drunk.
Yeah.
I literally, there are a few things I hate more than being drunk. I hate it because I'm a control freak, and I like to understand exactly what I'm doing to the finite detail.
Yeah. If you want to piss off a distiller, it's go into a bar with them and keep ordering shots.
Yeah.
Like that's not a night out that we
I had. My brother came, he visited me in Kentucky. He's like, "Where's your shot glasses?" I'm like, 35 years old. I don't have shot glasses.
Like, I'm an adult.
Yeah. I'm like, I drink my whiskey in large volumes.
Yeah. It doesn't make that sound better.
I drink it
all
out of a mason jar like we talked about last time.
Yeah.
Which a mason jar is essentially just a large shot glass.
I keep my whiskey in waxed mason jars.
Oh my God. I need that to happen. Someone please send me a prototype of a wax sealed mason jar.
I will kill
full
everyone.
Of premium booze.
Yeah.
And if it is bourbon cream, bonus points.
Yeah. Just bourbon. Yeah. I'll cream in it.
Kudos to us for taking this long to get to that joke.
All right. So... Bring in final thoughts.
Final thoughts.
You know, last time I was thinking, well, last time I was, yesterday when I was editing.
Last time you were thinking was like 1984. Yeah.
He's got it on the calendar.
Yeah. It's funny because I was alive then. So.
And it just says didn't like it.
Yeah, physically. No, I've realized that every time we do say final thoughts, you do this like very guttural just final thoughts sound. I was like,
yeah, I try and do
oh,
that
I'm definitely
time.
Making yeah. a final thoughts montage for
supercut.
Yeah, supercut for
yes,
it.
I'm so excited.
Wait, what does that entail?
Well, oh, it's mostly
just me
yeah,
saying,
it's mostly you,
final
it's mostly
thought.
You grunting.
Yeah. That's my whole life.
There'll be one of Brian saying final ideas and us making fun of him because that is not what it is.
Final idea.
Closing comments, gentlemen.
Final thoughts. Yeah. All right, do final thoughts.
All right, so I'm very excited for Zeno. I think this is an amazing move. I think listener and Brian and I are all going to benefit a lot from Zeno's move from, you know, double macro to our tiny little craft world where we deal with real problems and, you know. And small equipment.
I would like to agree with Colton that this is all about us. So thank you for making a decision that directly impacts our lives. And your, you know, everything about you is irrelevant, but we appreciate this and we agree that you've done a good thing.
Yeah, and you don't need a final thought. So
no, fuck you.
Congratulations, yes. Zeno. We are thrilled.
That is,
it's good. It's a good move. And it's like somewhere between bullshit horsehair and double macro.
Yeah. And we're thrilled for you. Good job, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, wait till I fuck it up.
Yeah. And we'll be there for you then.
Story of our lives. Yeah, we will.
Yeah, making fun of you, but we'll be there.
Yeah. Good, yeah. Love you. Good job, guys.
It's good. All right, do the walkout.
Yeah. Like, oh, right, absolutely. Yeah.
Walking out,
Brian.
If
you can, we would really appreciate if you leave a review on Amazon and definitely go to Tumblr and post some sort of nude hentai. That really helps us out. Apparently, we're on iTunes. You can like us there. Whatever other words we say that will piss Devin off while she edits this.
Download us on Napster, guys. We're there.
Ooh, that was a good one. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Napster, that was a good thing. Yeah. Add us to your playlist on Spotify. Yeah. Boom!
Actually, for real, we are on Spotify, so.
Ah, fuck, no! Oh, don't do that, then.
Yeah. We are.
Add us to your playlist on Groove Shark.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
But seriously, if you're listening to this, we apologize now until the end of time. Let us know what you think.
If you're listening to this, apologize to yourself.
Yeah. Shame on you. It's not even our fault. Yeah. You hit download.
No. Yeah, let us know you like us and hate yourself.
Yeah.
That's all we're asking.